Well, hello, everybody. This is Dan and Dante, author of The Complete A-Hole Dad, and we are on Rare Bird Radio. We are all dads all the time. So today we're going to be welcoming Dr. Jason Amstutz to the show. Doctor, say hello.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Cool. So in the interest of full disclosure, I'd like to tell everybody that I'm actually a patient of the good doctor, and you know, I wish I could explain what it is that you do, because I know the first time I came into your office, you know, I told you my neck hurt, and then you just started pulling on my toes. So I really don't understand it, so maybe you can explain kind of the nature of your practice and what it is that you do.
Okay. The nature of my practice is a combination of things that are usually left to three different types of individuals. There's a component of it that's chemically based. I like to, you know, I use the word chemical because there's always an inflammation part of it, or a part that's nutrition based, supplement based. So that's one of the things that we uncover. There's always a structural component. The structural can be handled with exercises, stretches, chiropractic, physical therapy, you name it. We've kind of put all those things into one basket. And there's always a control issue, and the control is simply, you know, how do we use that? How do we use your neck? How do we use your back? And is the system used to using it inappropriately, which causes residual problems over and over again, or do we need to re-educate the whole system and kind of reboot the drive, so to speak? That's kind of in a nutshell. Specifically, you know, I guess more specific than that is, you know, it all comes down to the examination. What I was able to do with you, Dan, which is similar to many other cases in the practice, is simply not be so consumed with what it is you were complaining about for your neck, for instance, but to always use a reference point of your pelvis as the coup de grace. And if that is properly balanced, the low back functions better, the neck pain goes away, et cetera, et cetera. So it really has to do with, you know, balancing the pelvis and making sure that all the other joints that are related and in the same link or chain are functioning properly as well.
So you were pulling my toes because you just thought that would be cool?
Yeah, exactly. I thought I'd distract you a little bit, kind of throw you off my scent.
Right, that's smart, because that was powerful. Hey, so you're not a chiropractor. I mean, you are a chiropractor, but you're not a chiropractor. And basically, you take care of people's bodies. You fix spine. You fix problems in their structure, basically.
Yeah, 100%. Yes, I'm a chiropractor. I graduated in 2006, received my doctorate here in Los Angeles. But I think the thing that really separates me is the integration with the physical therapy portion of it, which is the exercise and stretching. No real modalities or anything, but kind of literally marrying those two together. That's how I got started in Major League Baseball with shoulder problems and other sports and other injuries and people with car accidents. It really was kind of marrying those two together that kind of started sending me off in my own direction. Now, 6 years later, going to be 7 years this September, I've embarked on a new field of study, which is osteopathy, which I think we've touched on before, which is really where chiropractic and some of these manual therapies were born from. So I'm kind of I'm pursuing that as well.
So when you talk about dealing with the chemical and the structural and the control, really what you're doing is, I mean, you're taking a bunch of different disciplines and kind of going at the body from a multitude of different avenues that most a standard chiropractor, let's say, wouldn't normally do, right?
That's exactly right. That's the best way to summarize kind of the three pillars of function. And it's like, yes, there's plenty of people that do the chemical portion really well. There's plenty of great doctors. There's plenty of structural doctors, whether it's a chiropractor or a physical therapist. There's plenty of people that only work in control of the system or the body and re-education, and that's where the movement-based therapies come from. And it's like, hey, if you don't have this, you can't have a proper whole. And all of them are true. The difference is you can find it literally in either one person or in one practice, which normally the poor patient has to go, okay, I've kind of reached my end result with my chiropractor. I need to go find something else. So they go somewhere else. They reach the end with them. They're doing better. This is the typical story. And I think the atypical results and story now, when people get to experience what you've experienced, is simply you put all those things together in the right recipe per person. There's no there's no cookie cutter approach. I mean, everybody literally, you know, without beating that one to death too much, everybody's different. So you have to be able to ascertain and kind of analyze all of it and put it together in a proper package. And you have to get the patient involved. And I think that's something you can attest to because you complain loudly on a regular basis whenever I see you about how much work it's taking you out of your day in life in order to help yourself. But it also creates permanence in the treatment.
Well, the thing I would also complain about is that you haven't focused enough on the chemical part for me, because that's clearly a pillar that's missing in my treatment, I'll tell you that.
Well, so that's the nutrition that you're supposed to be following, but that's another.
Supposed to be. One of these days I'll start eating kale, I swear to God. One of these days. Okay, so let's talk about your patients. So what's your clientele? Who comes in to see you besides, you know, fat, redheaded guys like me?
It's a mix. People that are seeking typical chiropractic, they end up in my office. Car accidents are a small portion. A lot of athletes. And, you know, athletes like I think Bill Bauer was his name, who was one of the founders of Nike. You know, anybody with a body is an athlete, and I like to use that a lot because that's who my practice is. Now, whether you make $10 million a year being a, you know, quote-unquote an athlete, or whether you're a weekend warrior and a dad, none of that matters. Everybody's got this – they got a function. They don't want to hurt on Monday. Some guys get paid a little bit more than others to use their body. So that's really – and it's men and women, kids. I get a lot of young athletes with concussions now. That's one of my primary areas of expertise, and everything in between.
Got it. Well, look, so we're pretending to be all dads all the time, I got to swing you back to dads at some point. So, and you did mention it, so I don't feel too, you know, out of place by saying. So let's talk about the dads that you see. What's a typical dad who shows up at your office?
Oh boy, a typical dad are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. You know, working too much, sitting at the computer too much. You know, the change since the Industrial Revolution has put a lot of us sitting behind a desk. That creates a whole litany of problems with the neck and back. So it starts in their workplace more often, and then, of course, that creates some imbalances, and then they go home and are picking up their kids and whatever else they're doing, and that can create, you know, that's like kind of the recipe for disaster, and the disaster is low back problems, neck problems, shoulder problems. You know, there's a lot of rotator cuff problems with dads. You know, there's plenty of foot and ankle. It depends on the sport. You know, it depends on what they're trying to do in their spare time or how fast their kid is, I guess.
Right. So I called it a typical dad, but there's really no typical patient for you, right? I mean, I'm sure there's some commonalities, but I imagine that just it kind of runs the spectrum depending on when, like you said, if you got a fast kid or if you got a slow typewriter. It really depends, right?
That's right. That's right.
So somebody comes in, and what is the process for you determining where the imbalance is? I mean, they're obviously – you don't just eyeball them and go, you know, he's fat.
No, it's nothing like that. I haven't figured that out yet.
Right. So what is it? What type of information are you looking for? What type of tests they go through? What's the process for figuring out what's wrong?
You know, the biggest thing starts with the intake. You know, I have one of the most one of the most intimidating intake forms, and everybody thinks it's, you know, oh, I don't need to do that, it's too much, it's too this. But the whole story starts when people start linking together multiple injuries to either the same area or areas that they think are totally unrelated. But being able to tie the commonality, unless they got, you know, unless they fell over and tripped and broke their wrist or whatever it may be, there's a lot of people with specific sports or specific activities that keep injuring the same portion of their body. That tells a big story up front of what the potential causes or imbalances are. And like I mentioned before, I'd say 90% of the time, everything starts from the pelvis. I mean, it's only three links from your pelvis to your TMJ, which is your jaw. And there's problems with the TMJ that can be coming from your pelvis. And That's a hard one to explain to everybody, but the easy one is the pelvis is part of the hip joint. The pelvis is where the lumbar spine or the low back sits on top of it. The neck is connected to that. I mean, you know, if I had one thing to say that's different from a structural examination perspective, it's how much of an onus I put on the pelvis, and that really changes people's lives.
Well, I can attest to all of that. I can attest to the fact that your form is a goddamn nightmare, and I can attest to the fact that you change lives. And I think it's a hard concept for people to understand how the pelvis does it. So let's, you know, I love talking about me anyway. So okay. I'll waive the patient, you know, doctor privilege right now. Let's talk about for a minute, like, how you diagnosed my problem and how you figured out, you know, where, you know, the source of my problem. Because I will say this to the audience. Dr. Amsa's changed my life. I mean, I had 25 years of intense, incredible back problems, and I've been with him for 6 months, and they're literally gone, like a miracle, like magic. So by getting him, by understanding kind of what he did with me, I think it'll probably tell a lot of people, you know, how the whole thing works. So why don't you kind of go through mine as a case study and tell them what we figured out.
Sure. Okay. So from the beginning, you know, you come in, you take a look at the overall flexibility of your spine and pelvis, which was way below average / fair to partly shitty. You know what I mean?
I think completely shitty is the better way to describe it.
Okay, perhaps. And something that we joked about, and you're like, oh, I've been like this forever. It's never going to change. And it's like, okay, but so that throws you into the very stiff spine and pelvis bucket. So that quickly says, okay, number one, everybody has to have a certain amount of flexibility and a certain amount of strength and mobility. And when you lack either one or you're too far to one side, that's the first place you have to start. So not only, again, with the paradigm of the pelvis having to be balanced, but immediately from that, we had to force your low back to start moving more. And those were those daily stretches that you did to stretch your spine, not your muscles. Like if you don't start all the way with the structure or the spine, it doesn't matter if your hamstring's tight or your quad's tight or whatever. That's totally bogus. So we basically put you on, and I got you committed to doing those stretches, which kind of open up and make that spine more flexible. And that was the beginning to, you know, being able to even make any changes. Because if you don't make any changes to the overall flexibility in the system, everything's temporary.
Well, let me interrupt you for one sec, because that's kind of a weird concept, the concept of stretching your spine. I mean, everybody knows about stretching your hamstrings and stretching whatever. I personally, I'd never heard of the concept of stretching the spine. So why don't you explain kind of how that's done and why that makes such a significant impact?
Okay. I'll take one step back, and that's the hamstring. So the hamstring specifically attaches to the pelvis. The bones that we sit on are part of the pelvis. So therefore, if the hamstring is chronically tight, that tells us something about potentially a bone that it's attached to. So there's two bones. It's either the leg bone or it's the pelvis. So in that particular case, and in so many cases, you know, people come in my office that have been stretching their hamstring for 20 years and they're like, it's still tight. I'm like, okay, we might want to throw that one out. So
yeah. See, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, 20 years of repeating the same thing, you know where that one's headed. So to actually improve the flexibility of the spine is kind of the flip side of that. And through this osteopathy program and putting some things together from my background, it's like, again, if you don't have the flexibility in the spine itself, every muscle that attaches to it adapts with a shortened, you know, is short or is tight, if you will. And you can keep stretching, again, the outer layer, if you will. The only thing further out, you know, from a layer perspective is your skin. So we don't stretch the skin. We stretch the specific muscle. You can do that your whole life, and you're never going to change your spine. So these stretches are specifically designed to open up and improve the flexibility of the spine. That doesn't happen overnight, as you know. I mean, this is like just to get a little bit of a change enough that somebody can see, that's 30 days straight of doing the same stretches. You remember that phase?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, really? I'm still doing this? Come on, you know what, it's like, it takes time because you haven't really tried to push that system for 20, 25 years.
Yeah, and I guess it kind of makes sense when you think about it from a lay person's point of view, right? You got your pelvis, and you got your spine attached to the top of your pelvis and your hamstring attached to the below. So if your pelvis is pulled up by a tight spine, it really doesn't matter how much stretching you do, because no matter how far you lengthen that hamstring, the spine is going to pull that pelvis tighter, right?
Exactly. That's exactly it. We keep trying, you know, all of the therapies that we're taught and all of the stretching and everything. is the same thing as giving somebody, in my opinion, the magic pill. It's like, yeah, it might take the symptom away for a day, but then it comes right back. And it's because you didn't address the true issue, which is either stiffness and or imbalance in that whole system. You know, none of these things exist by themselves. The spine is not independent of the pelvis, nor is it independent of the hip. All three of those are equally dependent on each other. And unless you address all three, you're going to get a marginal result.
Yeah, and what about – and let's talk about hips for a second because, again, you know, I didn't know about stretching spine. I certainly didn't know about stretching hips. I mean, yeah, I'm a white boy. I can't move them anyway. But, you know, you taught me this whole thing of how does somebody stretch their hip and why does that work and why does that make a difference?
Okay, so part – you know, the hip itself, half of the hip joint – oh, we're all the way back at the pelvis. The hole where the femur goes into that makes the hip joint is in the pelvis. Okay, so that affects the whole leg, knee, and ankle, and foot. So to stretch the hip itself also frees up the pelvis. It just depends on how you want to look at the problem. If you want to look at it from a hip perspective, okay, great, it makes the hip more flexible. Simultaneously, it also helps to allow to free up the pelvis more. When you do it on a regular basis and not just once a week like you have done it, you know, 40, 50, 60 days in a row, you can start making a drastic change in the flexibility of that chain. And when that happens, things start loosening up, and you start getting a lot more movement, which decreases injuries. I mean, this is the same stuff I do with my pro athletes. This is no different. The way I treated you, the examination, everything else, exactly what I do with whomever.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you if there's a you know, commonality between dads and, you know, like normal people. Like hockey players so do you see it across the spectrum? I mean, is that a typical thing? A dad can walk in, you know, 40-year-old, relatively unathletic, sit behind a desk dad, and then you've got a 25-year-old defenseman for the Ducks. I mean, they come in with the same problems, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the most glaringly, maybe not so obvious thing is it's because of the old methodology or the, you know, the mainstream methodology of just stretching the tight thing. You know, you don't have to be a doctor to stretch a thing that's tight. You know what I mean? Like that.
Right.
Everybody can handle that one. But to really look into what may be causing that whole system, yeah, the dad and the NHL hockey player walk in here with identical problems all the time.
You know, it's the first and the last time I will ever be compared to a defenseman for the Ducks in my entire life. I appreciate it. Thank you. So we've figured out what's wrong with them. We've, you know, done some type of diagnosis. The hips are tight. The spine is tight. So talking about treatment. So now what happens? Is it in office? Is it out of office? What's the program?
Well, again, everybody's different. So it depends. Somebody who honestly, and I'm not going to toot your horn because I know it gets tooted a little too often. No pun intended.
Usually by me. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. I think one of the biggest things is how committed is my patient. So that changes the whole entire program. When somebody drives an hour and a half or an hour like you, that makes them a little more committed. They don't want to see me a lot, and so I put more of the onus on them. There are things that are very specific that need to be done in my office, but a lot of the work is done outside. I know you've spent hours and hours and hours on your puzzle and your issues, many more than you've seen me. And so, again, if somebody's not totally committed to seeing me or to doing it on their own, they have to spend more time with me. So that's like the broad brushstroke answer, I guess. It just really depends.
Well, remember, when I'm doing it, I'm looking in the mirror. So that's a lot more exciting for me than looking at you. But still,
right.
It definitely works. No, so, but talk about, like, and you can use me as an example. Again, I mean, I think talking about a specific example probably helps people understand, but
okay,
like a typical treatment program for, you know, a dad like me, you know, who's in his mid-40s, who has probably a pretty standard range of problems, you know, what does he have to do to make it all better?
A commitment to,
you know, kind of a typical program, let's say.
Sure. I mean, we'll go with your low back, you know, your chronic low back, they wanted to do surgery. Do you know how many people are like that? Or they've had failed back surgery? Okay, we'll just stick to the low back and pelvis because that's easy. Well, it's a combination. Number one, my first priority is to fix and balance the pelvis, and that needs to be done with me. Once that is established, there is a quick list of, I don't know, 3 to 5 stretches to maintain that flexibility in the pelvis and to keep it getting looser and looser. So immediately 3-4 stretches, 5 stretches, that go specifically for the hip and pelvis. Then we have to start looking at the weak links. So, you know, the stretching of the tight ones, that goes along with the puzzle, and then you need to strengthen the weak ones. You know, you specifically, you know, we always talk about how important the abs are and this and that, and that's the core and all those overused words. But with,
you're talking about my six pack right now, right? The six pack?
That's exactly right. That's exactly
okay,
right.
Go.
You know, for somebody like you, who's that stiff, the main reason you couldn't do that unassisted sit-up was not because of a strength issue always. It was because your spine was too stiff, Dan. So, again, combining the flexibility into the spine and then, of course, strengthening the abdominal wall, those things have to go hand in hand. You can't just have brute strength and you can't just have a lot of flexibility. They don't create a lot of function. So, I guess simply stated, there's going to be a portion of the program that is based on doing some specific exercises to strengthen your weak points. So for a lot of guys with low back pain, it's the no butt. You know, the glutes don't work properly, the abs aren't working properly, and you start there and you start building a foundation of, okay, because the quicker we make you more functional and the less day-to-day pain you have, then the ball starts rolling downhill and you'll do anything I ask. And then from there, you build a little bit more of a complex program. You make sure people aren't re-injuring themselves by sitting improperly. You know, you got to coach them on a lot of different things. But I think in the end, you create an independent patient that doesn't depend on their doctor, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do.
So essentially, you have it's a daily program. It's a daily program of stretching and strengthening and doing specific activities that are hitting the impacted areas, correct?
That's right. That's right. Knocking down the big trees, as I like to see. First, I got to really knock down the biggest trees in the forest, and then we can get to the smaller brushes and shrubbery and kind of trim and prune those. But the quicker I can get you to make a change and you feel it in your body, it's all about that. If you don't do these things and you don't feel it in your body, it's never going to create that kind of a wow, you changed my life thing. Thankfully, you were of the mindset that you were actually going to follow through with, and, you know, again, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak, because you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I just wanted to stay away from that whole trimming and pruning section of the workout. So how quickly does so let's talk about a patient who actually does what you say, because, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of patients you have who say, yeah, I'm going to do it, and they never do anything, right? And they never get better, right?
Well, yes, if they choose to, but if not, then those are the people that I bring in-house, and then you ask me about how many times and all that, then they're in-house with me 3-4 days a week doing their program with me, because that'll get them better, and they just need somebody to hold their hand.
Got it. So, okay, so either way, I mean, the patients you have are people who are working, whether it's with you or on their own, they're working at the improvement, they're working at this program, correct?
Yes, or I kick them out, Dan.
And you should. I mean, it doesn't make sense. If they don't want to do it, why should you, right?
That's exactly.
So what type of progress do they see? I mean, do they see progress in the first day, the first week, the first month? How does that go?
It's usually first day, unless it's something really chronic and stubborn. I mean, usually the first day can be the biggest change. And, again, that dictates – again, that kind of precipitates the whole, okay, what else can I do attitude. Usually after the first visit, though, I don't give too much homework because there's too many things at one time. But second visit, we're off and running. And then I'm making bets with patients like I did with you.
What's the bet I lost, by the way?
Exactly.
I said within 6 months I could not do a single unassisted, no-hold sit-up. And I was doing them within 3 months. And at the end of 6 months, I now do 50 unassisted. So, and you know, look, I don't want to blow too much sunshine or too much more sunshine up your butt or anything, but, I mean, do you really see results on day one? Person walks in at 1 o'clock, walks out at 2 o'clock, and they have a change already.
Yeah, all the time. All the time. Just being able to release the most tension in that pelvis or system that makes an immediate change, and people go, wow, I haven't felt that before. It's not just a whack-em, crack-em thing. You're not just doing, you know, it's very specific to the biggest issue with the body or the shoulder or the neck or whatever it is.
And what kind of things are – because obviously you're, you know, manipulating bones and muscles. I mean, what kind of things are you doing on day one that causes that traumatic change?
I mean, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record. It's the pelvis. The understanding of the pelvis that I have received via this, my mentor, Dr. Guy Voyer, who's from Marseille, France, who's a DO and a medical doctor in Europe.
You got to bring the French. You had to bring the French.
I
got to
bring the French into it. Sure, why not? I got to give, you know, I mean, he's the main reason that I'm able to really make these big changes in a short amount of time, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And choreography.
And,
go ahead.
And it all has to do, again, with unlocking the pelvis. And the difference between unlocking the pelvis and just cracking a pelvis or cracking the low back is, I mean, it's night and day different in the kind of outcomes you can get.
So what does unlocking the pelvis mean? I mean, because we all know, we've all been to a chiropractor and heard something crack. But what does cracking mean? What does that happen when something's cracking? What actually happens physically?
Well, in a lot of cases, that noise that you hear is just simply the gas escaping from a liquid. If you quickly expand, and without getting too technical, if you quickly expand a liquid, it will precipitate gas or bubbles out of it. A lot of the time, that's the popper sound that you hear. There's a lot of joints in the body that don't make that sound. The pelvis is not a synovial joint. It doesn't have its own bag of liquid around it, much like some of the other ones in the spine do, which make those noises, especially the closer you get to your ears, right? It's always I think the neck is the scariest one for people because they can hear it so easily. So it's really
so
just gas.
That's not two bones going together? That's a gas that's coming out of a sac? Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely, coming out of solution. Yep.
Wow.
Again, that's not every single sound you hear, but the most one, you know, the one that people hear the most, like when you crack your finger, that's all that is gas. That's not two bones rubbing together. If that were two bones rubbing together, we'd be giving everybody arthritis.
First podcast, I already learned something. I'm so excited. So I know what cracking is. What's unlocking the pelvis mean? What's the difference?
Well, we are a dynamic system, which means we're constantly moving. So to describe the pelvis in a way in which it moves on 22 different axes, which simply means it moves in every direction you can think of. Every time you do pretty much anything, your pelvis reacts and responds accordingly. One of the things is simply keeping your eyes horizontal to the horizon. The biggest thing for the brain is to keep your eyes parallel to the floor so the information goes in. Well, your pelvis makes up for all of the changes and all the different movements that we make. If it gets stuck in one position, which is how I find it in my office when I do my exam, we unlock it by literally pushing it in the opposite direction usually from the one in which it got stuck. And if you do that correctly, Dan, it doesn't get stuck again. And that's the game changer right there. That's labrum surgery in the hip, low back problems, early hip degenerative changes or arthritis, hip replacement. I mean, it all comes from the pelvis.
But when you unlock it in that first day,
he's
going to walk out of the – or she is going to walk out of the office, and it's going to go back into place. I mean, it's not like you do it once, you walk out, and you're running wind sprints the next day, right?
This is the difference, the language we're speaking here. So you're talking about the bone out of place model of chiropractic, which is not the place that I'm talking from anymore. It's not it moves out of place as much as it is. It moves in its real range of motion, but it just happens to get hung up or stuck there. Now, that could be from an imbalance in the muscle and soft tissue. Oh, that's interesting. That's part of one of the pillars. That's why we have to treat and stretch certain muscles on you, because we want to alleviate the possibility of it getting stuck there again. So, no, I don't agree that you'll walk out the door and it'll come back. If you're doing the wrong thing, Dan, with the pelvis or the low back, yes, you get that repeated use deal where you're like, I have to go 5 days a week. It's the only way I can feel better. That's not the kind of specific chiropractic physical therapy and work that we're doing. It's much more specific than that.
Got it. Okay, so we've talked a lot about, you know, neck cracking and gas cracking and all sorts of cracking. So let's just talk real briefly about some of the other factors you talked about. So like how do other factors besides, you know, the structural component play in, you know, like nutrition, you said, and Zen, and, you know, like cheating on your wife and all those other good things that you bring into the treatment program?
Well, nutrition, I mean, like I said, I use the word chemical because if I say just nutrition, some people are like, oh, I'm already on a diet. And it has nothing to do with diet, fat loss, those types of things. It really has to do with, are you providing your your body with the building blocks that enable it to heal and or aren't causing more inflammation and pain. If you're not providing at least the building blocks through a sound diet, and by, you know, and sound diet quickly defined is not eating a lot of chemical-based food or fake foods, and you're eating real food, that's another.
But wait, hold on. McDonald's is real food, right? Just I want to make sure.
No, not even close.
No wonder I got so many issues. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right. So that's at least, you know, we are what we eat. All those things that we've heard for, I mean, those are true. I mean, every cell in your body is made of the food that we put in it. So if you're feeding it a bunch of garbage, guess what happens? You get a bunch of garbage that makes up your fill in the blank, your organ, your skin, your tissue. You become more and more inflexible. That's a direct result of the type of food you're putting in your body, as well as your level of activity. I mean, again, you can see quickly how this is very multifactorial. Or what's a
polysyllabic?
Okay, that's helpful.
Come on, that's my SAT word from 27 years ago. I still remember. Give me a little credit. How about this? You got to do a lot of stuff to get one little change. How about that?
Yeah, you got to do a lot to make a permanent change. You could go and get a massage for an hour and feel different temporarily, but that's not what we're after. We're about, okay, let's make some changes that you're going to be in the same boat in 10 years, and you're going to, you know, you might have other issues, but you're not going to come back to the same one you had.
Right. Yeah. So what's the long-term prognosis? So is it true that all of us dads who are whining and bitching about our aching backs, I mean, can we really fix them? Can we, on a long-term basis, fix it entirely so we don't have that pain anymore, so we go through life without ever feeling our lower back?
Yeah. Yes, 100%. 100% yes, and that's because if you again, it takes a little bit of work. You don't get to sit around and eat bonbons and go to McDonald's every day and have your back pain go away. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the simple part of – just the simple coaching of get more exercise that is, you know, propagated amongst our youth and our kids, and it should be with everybody on this planet, so to speak. It's because it automatically does treat, if you will, fingers in quotations, the structural and control part of this whole puzzle, because you automatically are getting yourself better range of motion because you're moving and doing things. So
are you
take
willing
a lot to maintain, you know?
Got it. So I'm sorry.
Fixing it's a different story. Fixing it's a whole specific, like we talked about, treatment protocol. But once you get to that point and you stay active, I mean, you know, most people come in my office and say, you know, I usually only have this problem when I'm not working out and I'm not active. That's like 80% of my patients. It's like, oh yeah, okay, well, get to working out, we'll fix this, and keep doing something. Keep moving your body. Kind of
so are you willing to bet money that you will pay me if this actually stops working at some point?
100, sure. you and you only. I'm already up 100 bucks, so I'm willing to wager that.
That's true. You're betting with the house's money now. It's very exciting. Okay.
That's right.
Well, look, the clock on the wall says we're pretty much done. So I have been Dan and Dante, and like I said, the author of The Complete A-Hole Dad. You can find me at danandante.com and Amazon and Barnes Noble, some other good places. Doc, please tell everybody how they can find you as well.
Sure. Dr. Jason Amstutz with Link Medical Center, LINK, medicalcenter.com. I'm currently in Newport Beach and hope to be expanding to LA in the near future.
All right. And I will finish everything up with this. And this is complete truth, which I very rarely speak. This man absolutely changed my life. I mean, I'm talking about 30 years of pain where my back would lock up for 3 days where I'd be bent over for 3 or 4 days at a time. And after 6 months with Dr. Amstutz, I am completely cured, like I was just talking about. There is a prognosis of it will get better, and there is a way to permanently cure your problems. I am living proof of it, and I am eternally grateful to this man, even if he wasn't funny as he should have been in this last 30 minutes. So,
sorry, Dan. All right. I'll try better next time.
In any event, Dr. Amstutz, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, and that is our show.
Thanks, Dan.